Okay, at 7:02.
And do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
To make a motion to begin the meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. Y'all stand, please. Face the flag. Hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, we have a moment of silence. Okay. First thing on the agenda tonight is we have auditors in here to present the 2019 city audit.
Okay. I'm on.
It's Mr. Hoagland.
Hoagland. Roy Hoagland. Well, you're getting caught up.
You're up to
June 30th of 19, and we'll start on June 30th of 20, sometime coming up. So you've come a long way since I came out here, who knows how long ago now. A few years ago, but we had a few hours to catch up. So here's what I'll do quickly. I'll go over the letter that I've given you. You know, you have the audit here, this letter. I think a lot of you were maybe commissioners last year. Mayor, you're the same, so you probably heard me talk about this letter. This letter is basically just to summarize our audit process to make it in maybe a more understandable way for the governing body here, the commissioners and the mayor. First paragraph, it basically says, you engaged us to audit your city. So we've done that. And it talks about any accounting practices you have, anything, any new policies come up, any new accounting standards that affect cities. 2019, no. Standards are the same. Also talks about accounting estimates. In some cases, estimates can be significant to certain types of entities. In your city, the only estimate you have is the useful life of capital assets. And we evaluate those estimates, and we look at them during the audit to see that we think they're reasonable estimates, and they are. Then we talk to you, those in charge of governance. Do you have any difficulties in performing the audit? No. We have you say had no difficulties in performing the audit. Corrected and uncorrected misstatements. When Dan gave us the books, did we make any material adjustments? Did we find any large material errors? No, we did not. We tell you that. And any small adjustments we make, we'll share those with Dan. Updating depreciation schedules, things like that are kind of common. And some adjustments we make to take you from kind of a cash basis of accounting to somewhat of an accrual basis. We don't even give you those issues necessarily. They're just done for audit purposes. Next page, do we have any disagreements with management about accounting standards or any significant items within the financial statements? No. The mayor and Dan, we've seen a draft of this financial. They got a draft, I think, last Friday. They reviewed the drafts, had no problems. The mayor gave me a management representation letter tonight representing all the things presented to us in order to defend the audit. So that takes care of the letters to the mayor and the city commission summarizing the audit. Now I'll jump right into the audit. And, I think the most important thing to talk about under June 30th, 19 audit is go to the back, where we have an independent auditor's report on internal controls, on compliance, and on other matters affecting the audit. Last year, and probably the 2 years prior to that, we had findings in your internal controls. And really, for the year ended 6/30/19, we don't have findings. On page 21 and 22, you'll see where we don't have findings. Because starting approximately January 1st of 2019, you adopted a lot of new policies. Dan was on board at that point. As you guys know, you got some history with the city. you know, a change in leadership, internal control issues that the city had prior, basically during the year ended 6/30/18, 17, 16. Those issues that we found at 6/30/19 were no longer issues. So this is what we basically call a clean internal control report. So that's very important. First time you got a clean internal control report in, I guess, around three, four years at least. Okay, so I wanted to bring that to your attention. Again, this year's audit, independent auditor's report, is a what we call an unmodified opinion. These financial statements, in our opinion, are fairly presented. And then I think when I review the city's audit, turn to page 3. I think this is important to kind of talk about, to, you know, how did the year go? Especially how did 19, you know, what did June 30th, 19 year end look like compared to 18? You'll see on the bottom of page 3, quick summary here. Assets are important to the city. If you have a positive bottom line, you're going to increase your assets. Okay, so the city did increase their total assets during the year by about $108,000. You had some more liabilities at the end of the year. Just that's the timing of accounts payable. You know, bills that are due, things like that. That's just all a matter of timing. What bills have come in and haven't been paid yet. Before the year ended June 30th, 19, but they weren't paid till after. So, you look at the third column, looking at basically your net position, 18 compared to 19, you had an increase of $81,000. So that's positive. So when you turn to page 4, you get to see the detail of that $81,000. This is your statement of activities. If you're a for-profit business, this is basically your income statement. And you get to look up here at the detail, 18 to 19. And when I scan something like this, I look for any unusual or significant fluctuations from one year to the next. Because I would wonder, why is there an unusual fluctuation or a material change? And you'll see in this particular year, we have other income. You know, your money from the road aid, your property taxes, your insurance taxes, etc. They're all real consistent one year to the next. They basically should be. Another income, you had a large item there, and that was the litigation settlement. I think you probably know about that, if you know about the history of it. So that litigation settlement hit your June 30, 19 financial statements. So we looked at your expenses look in line one year compared to the next. Now, general government's up about 81. Well, a part of this litigation, you had some increased attorney fees. Okay, there's attorneys involved with this litigation, so you know you had an additional amount there for attorney fees, plus some open area maintenance. Just a few items came together to cause that $81,000 increase. I looked at all those items, nothing unusual, nothing to report about there at all. Just a part of operating the city during the period June 30th, 2019. So basically, your net income was $81,000. Good to have net income, better than the net loss. And if you do your budget correctly, you project what your revenues are, you keep expenses in line because you're a city, you're budgeting, you should have a positive bottom line unless something out of the ordinary pops up. Heavy snowstorms, any type of other storms that cause you have to spend a lot of money on the city too during the year. But that didn't happen this year. So you had a nice bottom line net income. Let me see what else is significant. Really, you know, these statements are just like in the past, 22 pages long, a lot of detail in here. It's a historical statement. It's a little more than a year old now. If you have any questions on it, you can ask me. But I think I've hit the highlights. Increase in your net position during the year, that was caused by basically net income of $81,000. Big item this year, you had a you had the litigation settlement with some expenses associated with that. Let's see. Anything else? Pretty ordinary. Road aid money was coming in. Let's see. And now, I've got to change to the back here. The Oh, one thing I did notice, and I don't know what you called this one exactly. I did see here on page 19, your general fund budget, under auditing fees, you budgeted $20K, but you paid your poor auditors just $8,000. So,
no, we had a bunch of back statements due. So we had the plan.
It's pretty much on the cash pay. But anyway, I just highlighted that. There was a big difference there. And the attorney, he was right on budget, but, you know, that's fine. He was, anyways, thought all right.
Just ag on, yeah.
Questions about 6/30/19?
I have a question on page 4.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. So if you back out the other income, the settlement,
sure,
our income was actually lower than.
I knew somebody was going to say that.
18.
Well, but now I don't know what Steve's fee was exactly associated with that. It was okay. So,
but this is just showing income into the city, right?
Sure. Well, okay, exactly. But now the general government, the increase in those expenses. Part of that was Steve's fee associated with the settlement. I think those were both booked in the same year. And you're making a good point there.
And we also had $29,000 plus in tree removal, if you remember.
Yes, right. You did.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the income side. I'm not talking about the debt. I mean, it's positive $81,000, but if you take the 160 and 147 and 4,000, you're short the 333. It's less. It should be somewhere around 315. Is that right? Am I right, Dan? I know you've already got it figured up to your head, to the penny.
You're saying that.
Wait a minute, I'm losing that now.
The property taxes, the other taxes, and then the investment come in 2019.
No. You know what I'm missing? Program revenues. That's also income, isn't it? So it's actually greater. My bad. Never mind. I was looking at the bottom four columns there. The general revenue, property tax, other investments. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
I missed the top number.
Okay, that's cool.
Never mind. We're good.
Yep, that's good. So, Mayor, what I do, once you approve this audit, as we've done in the past, I'll send an electronic copy to the Department of Local Government.
Well, I got to sign.
They'll accept it.
Is there anything to sign?
You signed the rep letter, and you returned it.
Okay. All right. So I just need to get motions. Do I hear a motion to accept the 2019 audit as is?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Thank you, Commissioner Hall, for the second. I guess we ought to have a roll call vote. Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf?
Yes.
Mayor Stone, yes. So, you've got it passed before you leave.
Fantastic. We'll submit it to the DLG.
Before you leave, we have the...
I've left another copy of the statement here.
Yeah, for Linda.
Okay.
Yeah. I have your engagement letter.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a commitment to get this done before the end of the year? We did this one in 6 weeks.
December 31?
Yeah, our meeting in December is December 15th.
Sure, I'll make that commitment.
All right. Did everybody hear that?
Kind of. I had Andrew step up, and you maybe noticed another name comes while we were working kind of on this. One of my people had to be formed.
No,
I'm fine. Yeah, unfortunately. So, they couldn't come into the office at all.
What happened to Parker?
Quarantine. He's 25, you know?
Yes.
What are we going to do? 25 and he's unmarried. He's happy. Just saying. Well, he does have a steady girl. Okay. So then you're both ended up being real happy. These are strange times. Okay.
Move our copies,
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it. I appreciate working with you guys. It's a pleasure.
It shouldn't be too hard.
No.
We've got our ducks in a row.
I think you're right. I'm looking forward to it.
For a change.
Okay, we can move on. Steve, good seeing you again.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. We appreciate you coming out tonight.
I appreciate it.
Giving us this good news. I'll get this posted onto the website.
You guys know what you're doing, I tell you. Steve, I'll say this before I leave. I've got a son that I had to suffer through the LSAT with him this summer.
You know, really? Did he pass?
Well, you know there's no pass in high school.
Well, that's right.
It's for admission to law school.
CBA, it's the bar exam, right?
He got a very high grade, but he wants even higher. So he's going to take it one more time.
Where do you want to go?
One of those top 14, right? And that's where everybody wants to go. Who knows? We'll see.
All right. You know, no one's ever asked me where I went to law school and what kind of grades I got.
Sure.
I was able to walk out the door.
That's what we hear.
Who does the worst on the bar exam?
I'm sorry.
You know what they call somebody who does the worst possible score on the bar exam? A lawyer.
I'm going to take a multi-state bar exam. The first one's the essay. So, I mean, and where people fail is usually on the multi-state. So everybody's tense. This is the second day. And about 10 minutes into the exam, somebody goes, shit, I got one. Everybody laughs. And people relax. And I'm sure that people passed that exam by because of the relaxation that was caused by that state.
You guys have a nice night.
Thank you, sir.
See you.
Be careful on the road.
You too.
Yeah.
Watch for the construction on 71 at the intersection.
Alright, I'll
do it. Might want to go down the Westport Road.
Okay, just found the wall show.
Okay. Next on the agenda is citizens' participation. And I know James is here about something that we've talked about. Are you here for a reason, Jimbo?
No, sir.
Okay.
For the record, I talked to Jim earlier, and I'm going to look into this.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm here because I like you, Bob.
Well, at least one of us is.
All right. Next is the city meeting minutes of July 21st. They were distributed. Is there any corrections or have any complaints about them? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as they are?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Unanimous. Next is the special meeting minutes of July 24, 2020. Is there any that was distributed also? Is there any corrections to those? Do I hear a motion to accept those minutes?
I make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. No. They're all approved. Okay. Financial reports. Everybody go through the financial reports with a fine tooth comb. I do. Trust me. Did anybody find any problems? All right, do I hear a motion to accept the city financials for July 2020?
I'll make a motion to accept city.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We've passed around the sheet. Linda is the only one that hasn't signed anything on it. She's not here right now. All right. Next on the agenda is the city attorney's report.
Bob has raised a very interesting issue, which initially I thought we had figured out, but condominium unit owners own
the inside part of their unit, all right? And then, so they're all taxed for the improvement value of that property. But Bob was saying, well, what about the land on which those condominiums sit? You know, do the people who own the land get taxed, the tax bill, and pay all of it, or is it apportioned proportionately by some formula to the people that have units within each individual structure? Well, it seems, and he found three different situations with PVA where some had land values, some had proven values. There seemed to be some inconsistency there. So I've been doing some research. I just found the statute that applies to a whore. These kind of names are called regimes, and then there's a statute that talks about horizontal property law, and that pertains strictly to a condominium. So we're on to something here, because Bob's argument is that someone should be paying, or a combination of payees should be paying some or all of the tax on the value of the land in which these buildings sit, and also the proportion value of the common areas. So we're going to get to the bottom of that, and we're going to drill down on that. Linda sent me, and there was another, the bylaws and the condominium regime statutes are very, very detailed. And so Linda sent me a set of bylaws that says that as to the taxes apportionment of to the land below the units is part of their dues. Well, then the question goes back, even, well, if they're collecting the tax for Jefferson County Metro Government and for the city of Worthington Hills, then why aren't we getting paid? So anyway, I'm looking into that. I'm going to touch base with PVA again, and it seems to be an interesting issue. The other issue is what's going on with the properties at Westport Road. We were there about a year ago, and Jim, what appears to Bob is that they didn't. We were at this meeting about a year ago, and we raised the issue about the building permit. You said, "Well, we didn't need one." And then Bob unearthed a letter that said that certain things in this representation. So they're saying, "Well, that guy doesn't work for us anymore. He was an independent contractor." So what we believe, or what Bob believes, is that they came in and to increase the footprint of their parking area and the area surrounding the building, that they may have blacktopped part of the city property, which is an easement. And, well, that's a no-no. So we have...
I have some maps.
We have that issue, we have the lighting issue, and we have the noise issue. So I'm really going to pay particular attention to that over the next couple weeks. And box these people in.
There's a front and back on this sheet. Okay, and I want to explain. I dug this up because I had to do a census approval of the
city boundaries earlier in the spring, and on the one that's got what looks like the lots. You see this one that's got the lots on it. Okay, if you'll look real close. Right there underneath Bay Run.
Thank you.
You can see where there's a real thin line that goes across the back on that top portion of that big spot here. Okay?
Right.
When you turn it over, here is the boundaries of City of Worthington Hills. And if you'll notice, when you get to Westport Road, which is down here in this keyhole, okay, it makes that little cat, that little angle off. That's why I suspect they had asphalted on city property.
Yeah, because it's not the same.
Okay? That's my suspicion. That's how we're... I talked to Steve this morning first, or this morning originally. Steve said we didn't have any class to get class suit into this or class action into
cause
it.
Cause of action.
Cause of action, that's what it is. Cause of action. Okay? But after digging this up.
It's called standing the right to sue.
All right.
So he has the right to sue you. Go ahead.
So I dug this up to help prove that we may have cause of action.
Yeah, but it involves our land,
right,
in which they may have put blacktop.
We don't know. It's just that I wanted to bring this up tonight because we have had and we still get complaints about the noise over there, and apparently Louisville's not willing to do anything about it, and they're getting the revenues from that manufacturer who works for Ford, and I'm assuming, and again we know what I'll assume is that being affiliated with Ford, they don't want to make any waves. So,
you know, the first research assignment I had in Washington, I went into this guy, and he was pretty responsible. What he said, well, I assume that, he says, you don't assume anything in this business. You get out of here and sleep. So he won't address any assumptions. But I just found on the Metro government site the light ordinance and the noise ordinance. So I'm going to look at that. And then, so we have that issue, the noise, the light, and we have this possible encroachment upon city property. So I'm going to address all of those issues. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Late this afternoon, I received a message from Lieutenant Brad. I got his last name on here. He's in quarantine with his daughter, but he's the one I've been speaking with for over a year.
Over a year.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. October 31st was the last time I spoke with him.
About?
Before all of this stuff came up again.
What are you talking to him about?
About the noise.
What's you
the
need
light.
His name and phone number?
Lieutenant Brad?
Yes.
They're having a meeting this week with ground effects. Now, we had that meeting, I don't know what day it was. After
a year and 3 months ago.
No, they met.
Oh.
Marcus
Whitaker. ABC was there, Wheeler was there, Kip was there.
Oh, okay.
Out in the street.
That was about 3 months ago.
If you can give me that, you know, either now or after the meeting, I can.
I'm just going to see you.
Okay.
But I thought we were. The people that met with all these Metro Council and ABC and with the planning and zoning,
I thought
we were going to that meeting over, but doesn't look like we are. It looks like the government people are going to meet with ground effects, and they're going to contact us. That's what I got today.
All right. You need to show that to me. Give me his name and number or something.
Yeah, I got it. This guy, Lieutenant Brad, he's in charge of the ABC.
What is ABC involved here for? Alcohol and beverage control?
They're all combined together anymore. Alcohol, beverage control, and that is planning and zoning. And he is a Louisville Metro police officer.
Okay.
What I understand. And the guy, the planning and zoning guy came out the street with us. He is also, Lieutenant Brad is his boss.
Who was that person, do you remember?
No, I never did get a card.
Okay.
I think one of the neighbors did.
Brad, I have a phone number. Can you give me his phone number?
Here we go. Sir. That's the ABC officer. Planning and zoning.
This guy. He's looking for a job as a law clerk.
I got all kinds of phone numbers.
We're going to get to the bottom of this. So, that's good. It's a meeting. Can I have a meeting? I'll call him and find you out. Well, it looks like they're being challenged now by the proper authorities, so we'll kind of see where that goes. I'll stay on top of it. But if they paved over our property, I don't know if anybody remembers, but we were in that litigation about the gate. We put the gate up, and you would have thought that we had, you know, committed some heinous crime. We followed the law. I wanted the Court of Appeals. And the only thing they said that I did wrong was that I didn't get permission from the utility companies to put the gate up, because below where that gate went was an easement for utilities. So, but other than that, we did it correctly. And That case has been cited in numerous cases with Georgia. And the best thing we've ever done in the law. But regardless, if they paved over our land, especially if there's a, if it's a utility easement, they got problems.
Okay.
I'm going to take care of that.
All right.
So if I'm looking at this correctly from Google Maps, you're talking about everything they paved.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, if it's the
yeah.
if
you go back,
electrical lines were the property boundary, the old existing pavements over them.
Right.
Are there any above ground utilities?
Yeah, there are above ground power lines there, but there's also I don't know what else is in that easement, but because remember what, I'll go back to when I brought this up a year ago. The Google Earth shows it. You can find it prior to that being blacktopped, and you can see where it's been. You know, it was a basically a grass area for a dividing line between the industrial area and the city houses.
If there are existing utility poles on that property, did they blacktop around them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really brave.
Mm-hmm.
That's brazen, not brave. This
is what they call the blacktop.
Oh, the darker area?
Utility pole.
A lot of property.
Can you send that to me?
Whoa.
Oh, what did you find? What did you use? Okay. And how do you locate that particular place?
Put in an address. You can put the address in, it'll take you right there.
Can you get a map program?
Here I do. Let's see.
Open the map program.
Can we move along while you're... You got anything else to say there, Steve?
No, I'm done.
Okay. So while you play with your Google Maps there, we're going to move along. Old business? Is anybody any old business they want to bring up? I think you were going to show something this evening.
I'm going to take the mask off so I can talk.
Go ahead.
Sylvia called me, in fact I already had mentioned it last meeting, called me, and we met and decided that a welcome bag from the city would be nice. So I went to Dollar Tree. This is what we put in the, Sylvia approved it. I want to show you, but I've already delivered two. Little notebook, set of pens. A little flashlight, cleaning cloths, just a little decorative hanging plant thing, and we also included a welcome letter, and Linda so graciously sent me this so I could go ahead and print them, and this is the Rumpke thing, because I swear garbage just is a big deal. At least the new people will know the garbage thing. So it all goes in a little bag. Welcome to the city of Worthington Hills. And I delivered two on.
That's cool.
Is the website somewhere?
In the website is in twice. I put the website in the welcome letter twice. And when I talked to the people, I said, please go to the website. Invited me to the meeting, asked them if they had any questions about the city, anything. Found the things at Dollar Tree, and I went ahead and purchased enough to six bags. So I had four bags left. Okay.
I signed the big one too.
That's a great idea.
Yes. I signed the regular minutes too. Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner Campbell. Thank you very much, Sylvia.
Yes, thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you very much. Finally,
I signed the back one.
Well, the back one's not the
blue. And Bob provided a wonderful new sticker.
What's on the back?
Commissioner's report. We come up with ideas.
There's something back here to sign.
Well, I'm not. Sign that one.
All right. Any other old business? If not, I guess we'll move to new business. Anybody got any new business they want to talk about?
I do.
Now go ahead, city clerk.
I don't know the last time the city clerk had a raise.
I do.
When was it?
2016.
Okay, that's 4 years. For the last month, I've kept track of how many hours I've spent on city work, and it's been 46 hours. You divide 600 by 46, you get about $13 an hour. I know I'm worth more than that, so I don't know if y'all want to think about giving me a raise or not, or whatever, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention. It's only $13 an hour.
That's controlled by statute, I believe.
It has
to be done before May of the year of the election.
Right. No, you can do staff any year. Okay, but it has to be done by, I think, the first week in May.
Okay.
So that will have to be handled next year because the raises go into effect at the beginning of the fiscal year. But I think by statute, I think if I remember right, it's the first Monday in May.
I'll send you the statute.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
But I agree with you.
All right. I have one thing for new business. We didn't get to do spring yard sale. So we usually do the third Saturday of May and the third Saturday of September. And the third Saturday of September is September 19th. Is there any objection to us doing the yard sale this fall?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Okay.
I mean, I know other people are doing them, so...
Right. Okay. I just wanted to bring it up before, and so then we'll just plan on putting the signs out the Saturday before, or the Sunday before. And I just wanted to make sure because our next meeting is September 15th, so I wanted to make sure we got that on the agenda for this evening. Yes, ma'am.
You know, if I was told on a Sunday I could have a yard sale on Saturday, I wouldn't be ready. Can you put something on the website about it?
Yeah, it'll be on the website.
Yeah. Exactly right.
No, the signs will go out, and it'll be on the website as soon as I get the time to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
I got one thing.
Okay.
We have a dead tree in the Ludenberg holding pond, cherry tree. I think it's been struck by lightning because one side's pretty healthy right now, but the one, it's got a big Y about 10 feet off the ground. Everything on the side that's closest to Little Road is gone. And it's affecting the bark now down the main trunk of the tree, so the tree's not going to survive. So, I have a bid for $1,250 to remove the tree. Do you want to vote on that?
Well, that sounds like that sounds pretty reasonable.
More than reasonable for that. That tree's a monster.
Oh, yeah. That tree is definitely a monster.
It doesn't include removing the stump, but he said he quote the stump when he got the tree out. So probably another $200.
Well, why don't we make it, it's up there on that hill, why don't we cut it up high enough to where he's making a little table?
I don't think so. I have a volunteer... Well, I have two things I can plant there in its place. I have a volunteer tulip poplar tree,
mm-hmm.
and I have a oak tree that I can put in its place. So,
oak tree sounds good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, all right. Do I hear a motion to remove the cherry tree from the, what would you call that, the holding pond on Ludenberg?
Ludenberg holding pond.
Okay.
I will make a motion that we remove that tree.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell and Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Sounds good. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. All right. With that, we're up to commissioner reports. Who would like to be first?
I'll go first.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
The primary city property was mowed on 726, 731, 88, and 815. The secondary, the islands, was mowed on 726, 731, 88, and 815. On 81, nothing got mowed because it was too wet to mow that week. General cleanup, picked up trash from the front entrance on 726, weeded the holding pond drainage ditch behind Luray Court, and weeded around the trees in Queen Anne's Court, 81. And on 87, weeded Lunenburg holding pond, ditch lines and sidewalks, weeded the ditch in the large green space behind the picnic tables. On 89, I received an email from Don Eichenberger about trash cans being across the street from her home on at 12007 Bay Run. I drove over to the home in question and removed the trash cans off the street on the same day.
The house was empty. That's the reason why. It's a rental property and it's now vacant. So, all right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Okay. Go ahead, Commissioner Campbell.
Go ahead, Commissioner Campbell. On July 23rd, I went to Dollar Tree to look and purchase items for the welcome bag. And on the 24th, I attended a special meeting at the Holiday Inn, and at that time showed the other commissioners what I had purchased, and they approved it. And then Linda sent me the Roki, said she would send me the Roki guidelines that I could print off. On July 30th, I bought items for 5 more welcome bags at Dollar Tree. The cost of each bag is between $5.50 and $6. On August 1st, I delivered the welcome bags to 2 residents of the city. And then this is Linda. So Linda asked me to read hers. And she couldn't be here tonight. She did the weekly streetlight checks on 721, 728, 84, and 811. At the special called meeting on Friday, July 24th, Mayor Stoneham informed me the streetlights at the intersection of Northumberland and Dickerson Court and 4503 Dickerson Court were not working. I reported the outages to LG&E on that same day. I received an email from Mayor Stoneham on 8-3 letting me know the lights had not been repaired. I spoke with John Block, the supervisor of LG&E's outdoor lighting department that day, and he informed me a crew had been out on the 29th and discovered the problem wasn't just a quick fix of replacing a bad bulb, but with the wiring. Rewiring was required for both lights, and that job was completed on August 5th. During the streetlight check on 728, I noticed that despite the postcard I had sent to the resident, the couch sitting in front of the rental property at 11001 Lunenburg Court had not been removed. Mayor Stoneham provided me with the owner's contact information. I sent Mr. Hunt an email with photos asking him to please remove the couch. I included the Rumpke guidelines. In the email, I also followed up with a phone call, but had to leave a message. As of last week, the couch was still sitting by the curb, and I asked Mayor Stoneham or Property Commissioner Hall if they could reach out to the property owner, as I felt I had done all I could do. Mayor Stoneham informed me another email was sent to the owner on 8/12 along with photos. Commissioner Hall and Mayor Stoneham contacted me about damaged telephone boxes in the green spaces off Lunenburg and Queen Anne's. I am unable to access those areas, Commissioner Hall, if he could send me the numbers on the boxes, but unfortunately, there were none. I called AT&T Repair, and because I was unable to give them a physical address, I provided them with Commissioner Hall's phone number, and they will contact him and make arrangements to meet him at Lunenburg Drive sometime before 6 on 8/17/20. I also informed Mayor Stoneham of this. I returned 2 phone calls from new property owners, one about garbage collection and one inquiring about who to call about her property taxes.
I would like to thank Commissioner Metcalf for contacting the residents on Rustburg about removing the door and the refrigerant from the refrigerator they set out for Rumpke. I appreciate him letting me know and then following through and informing the residents.
Thank you.
For the record.
Yeah, I know. All right, Commissioner Metcalf.
I drove the city on multiple occasions. Mayor Stoneman and myself went to the storage shed on two occasions. On 8/12/20, I received a call from Mayor Stoneman that he got a report of a solicitor in the city, and he thought they might be on Pulaski, or I'm not sure if they were on New or Old Pulaski. I located the two individuals at a house at the corner of Old Pulaski and Lunenburg Drive. When I approached them, they were on the phone with 911 because one of them had just been assaulted by a resident on Lunenburg. When the police arrived, I let the solicitors know that they couldn't solicit in the city of Worthington Hills. And later on, I observed the refrigerators set out for trash at 12,006 Rustburg Court, which had still had the door attached, and I called Commissioner Beville and informed her. I then went to 12,006 Rustburg and talked to the resident, and he removed the fridge. That's
it. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right. Nothing else unless we have something from the audience. Anybody have anything they want to say from the audience? All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Y'all have a great night. It's 7:49.